Welcome to Survival Mode Disrupted, the podcast for those who are done performing, done people pleasing, and done living life on autopilot. I'm your host, Leticia, the Survival Mode Disruptor, and this is where we create disruptive, unapologetic transformations for those who are ready to exit survival mode and reclaim their power. Every episode is your permission slip to burn the rule book, break the cycle, and finally build a life that feels like yours. So let's disrupt everything that's holding you back and start living life on your own terms. This is your trigger warning. This podcast is raw. It is real, and it doesn't sugarcoat what it means to survive trauma, abuse, mental health battles, or even the aftermath of living in survival mode for too damn long. What you hear on Survival Mode Disrupted includes unfiltered stories, graphic details, and a vulnerable truth that may trigger some of the audience. Please prioritize your emotional safety. If something feels too heavy, pause. Breathe. Come back when you're ready or not at all. Your healing is yours to honor. These episodes are based on lived experience, not therapy sessions or clinical advice. Listening does not replace mental health treatment or constitute a coach-client relationship. If you're in crisis, please seek immediate help from a licensed professional or contact your local emergency services. This space is built with care, but it's also built for truth and built for disruption. Take what you need, leave the rest, and most of all, trust yourself. If this podcast speaks to your soul, you don't have to do this work alone. Feel free to join our free Facebook community for high-achieving women ready to break cycles and heal out loud. Join us at Disrupting Survival Mode on Facebook. Or grab the book that started this movement, Exiting Survival Mode, a raw step-by-step guide to help you identify, release, and rebuild from the survival patterns that have been keeping you stuck. Hello, hello, and welcome back to another episode of Survival Mode Disrupted. I am your host, Leticia, the Survival Mode Disruptor, and today we have Honey. Honey, why don't you introduce yourself?
Oh, I'd love to. Thank you, Leticia, and thank you for your precious time to be in front of your sweet audience. And so my name is Honey Smith Walls, and I am an evolved woman trying to help my sisterhood on this planet while we go through womaning 101 together. Mm-hmm. And what I've noticed at this tender age of 71 is that going through it together makes this world so much easier to bear, especially after living under the patriarchy as we have all our history. So I'm really tickled to be here with you to talk about growing up and womaning 101 and all of this. I'm just really grateful. Thank you, Leticia.
Yeah, I'm so excited. I've been waiting for this conversation, and I agree with you, right? One of the reasons why I lead with storytelling in this podcast is because I believe it creates community instantly, and who doesn't need more community?
Glory be. I've always considered myself to be an only child, and I'm not. I have a sister 2 years older than me, and I knew her growing up, but we didn't live together. Mm-hmm. So I felt like an only child. And there's a lot of baggage that goes on with that, especially particular to my era, the 50s. I was born in 1954. And the 60s, you know, in the 50s, it was very, women wore their pearls in their high heels while they vacuumed and made bacon and eggs. And in the 60s, we became hippies and threw our bras away and said, "No more of that, thank you." And in the 70s, we began learning more about our own rights as women because nobody was studying women up until the 70s. There are no university courses really in women's studies. And then in the 80s, we just got a little more scientific about all of it. And then the rest, you know, we've finally made it to where we are today, but it's not enough. And I feel the way you do. I feel like we need to grab arms with each other and start lifting and rising this womanhood, this big femme, I like to call it, the big feminine, you know, the big feminine. And start helping each other come up out of the depths of patriarchy.
I agree with you so much, honey. So tell me, how would you describe survival mode?
Girls, I did not even know I was anxious until somebody introduced me to a product that instantly calmed all of that. I didn't know. And guess how old I was when that took place? I was in my 60s. I didn't know or realize or have the wherewithal in my mind to understand that I had been living in fight or flight all my life. And the anxiety that comes with that from not trusting, from being fearful, from afraid of what's ahead of me and terrified to look behind, and, you know, just stuck in this fear and panic in my heart. And I'm sure that anxiety, that trauma from my childhood, and we all go through some trauma. We just do. I just don't know any woman that doesn't have a story to tell. And if we do not try to fix that trauma, that inner child, that precious baby in us that was so hurt way back when, and we still can fix it, but if we don't try, then we have no awareness, no ability to step outside of that trauma. So just becoming aware that you have something to that needs addressing so that you can move on and help your mind grow and move forward. Otherwise, you just stuck. And I was stuck for 60 some odd years in living somebody else's idea of what my life should be, the conditioning of my childhood, my upbringing,
I
my
can feel that.
church, all of it, all of it. The friends I had accumulated and allowed to stay around me and fill my mind with their thoughts and their ideas. So once I began realizing how sad I was inside, and the typical aches and pains of womanhood starts when you come out of the chute. It ain't pleasant, it's painful. So you've got pain coming out of the chute. My granddaughter started her period at 9 years old, a year ago. And I was just horrified for her because she has no more capacity to deal with the womanly stuff her body's ready for now. And that's because of our diet. So we didn't do the diet thing right. So now we're going to have to catch up and fix that so that she doesn't suffer so much with all of this that is already on her body. But what we do is we go get, you know, over-the-counter products for her. And we take her to the doctor because if it gets worse, if it's really bad, if it prevents her from going to school, we'll have to go get something a little stronger, a pharmaceutical. And then starts that doctor dance. Women start that doctor dance pretty young and they never get out of it. We're not taught over here in the US how to use plants. We're taught to go to the doctor, let him tell us that we have something, prescribed something, run to the pharmacy, pick it up, take it for 10 days, and if we're not better, we come back. But I'm here to tell you, I did that for 60 some odd years, and I couldn't function on that cocktail of pills that I was living on. And it certainly wasn't me. I was dying inside from brain fog. I had the perfect womanly storm hit me starting at about 38. Menopause smacked me upside the head. Arthritis began creeping into my body. I was diagnosed with myalgic encephalomyelitis, what we used to call chronic fatigue, before they gave it a big, long scientific name. And then I had a silly accident trying to lift something a little too heavy, and I felt this muscle recoil and go boing. And all of a sudden, I have neuropathy in the ends of all of my fingertips that feels like razor blades have slit them, and I'm running them under hot water. And so, pills and pills and doctor dances and pharmacy runs and laboratory blood suckings, all of that stuff. For years, I did all of that, trying to find the perfect balance, trying to eat right, trying to get rid of the weight that I gained, the constipation all those pills caused, the diarrhea, the upset tummy, all of the nausea from all of those pharmaceuticals. And they're just typical high blood pressure, thyroid, constipation, something for that because you're on these two. Can't sleep anymore because constipation, got weird jerking things going on. Mind's getting a little fuzzy. Can't sleep, can't shut it down. Negative looping thoughts going on. Can't stop that. Okay, I need something to sleep. All right. Gives me an antidepressant too because my attitude's for shits now. And so I'm just cocktail after prescription. And that went on for years. You should have seen my medicine cabinet. Well, as I said earlier, I was an old hippie. And when a girlfriend came in and saw me one day, and I had one foot in the grave from all of that stuff, my body was crying and said something like, you know, if you don't do something, you're gonna And my body had never spoken to me like that before. And I listened. Well, there was something serendipitous going on. At that moment, a commercial came on TV, and it was talking about a new subject that was happening in my particular state in Florida, where I lived at the time, and it was about cannabis. And I was like, oh, yeah, I love cannabis. I loved it as a teen. I wish I could use it now, but I'm not in a place where I can, except cannabis had just recently been legalized in Florida. And when girlfriend came over and saw me one foot in the grave, kind of laying on the couch, all of my muscles atrophying, my husband was feeding me at the time. I didn't have the energy to feed myself and hadn't for a year. I'd stop driving, I'd stop cooking, I'd stopped going anywhere out of the house. I had a band. I had a band and led about 15 people in a medieval gypsy band, it was called. And we played early music, and I was the lead. So for me to stop going to rehearsals and going to doing gigs and stuff, it was big. It was a life shift. And I was incredibly sad and depressed and afraid and anxious because I didn't know if I was ever going to recover from all of that mess. And look at me now. I'm
One of
71
life.
now. Yeah. Look at me now. Now, since girlfriend, when girlfriend came over and said, here, try a little bit of this, and she had a joint, I did. And it made me feel so much better. And I remembered the joy of smoking when I was a kid. And I wondered why all of a sudden it took the nausea away. All of a sudden, my hands would open up. All of a sudden, I felt like sitting up. All of a sudden, I had an appetite again. All of a sudden, I had tolerance for my spouse who was on my very last nerve. All of a sudden, I was thinking hopefully that, what? This, what just happened here? And it was that that got me so interested in what I was doing and what had happened to me. I had to figure out why, because I'd been on the American sick care philosophy all my life, and it wasn't working anymore. It just wasn't working. And this one little puff, what? Fast forward over the next decade, after I wiggled my way into any scientist's arena on LinkedIn that I could find who was in the cannabis industry, they all let me in because I was so wildly curious and kept badgering them with questions and hammering them with, stuff. You gotta tell me, you gotta tell me. And then courses came, and then I began going through all of their courses and understanding the big picture. Did you know that the white guys never would have made it over here to America without cannabis? Did you know that? Can you guess why? I love this little factoid. It's
Tell me,
because
tell me.
in those days, you couldn't shove a boat across an ocean without sails and rope, both made from cannabis. In those days, cannabis was used daily. It was used in clothing because the reeds in cannabis are can be made and pummeled into something softer than silk. And they used it in their food. They fed their animals on it. Cannabis seeds are a whole food, so you could literally subsist on just cannabis seeds if you had to. The medicines we found out that live inside the cannabis plant are so akin to our own body and our system that we later found out in 1992, we have a whole receptor system in our body that binds perfectly with hundreds of cannabinoids in the cannabis plant. And other compounds too, called terpenes. And terpenes are really important. But you've been tasting and smelling and eating, consuming and drinking terpenes all your life in everything you taste and smell. So they're also in cannabis and they're also really medicinal. And they make a difference to your ride on cannabis. So now we know that cannabis has been used always. It was here on the planet before humans. That humans developed a receptor system within their body that binds perfectly with all those compounds in this very unique plant. And that this plant has been used throughout all time, both industrially, medicinally, socially. It has been a source of revenue, and the backbone of America was built on cannabis. Once our, who we call our forefathers, once our forefathers came and dictated themselves forefathers, they said to the rest of the people who came over on boats, they said, "You shall grow hemp." You know why? Because they wanted to start the first American Navy. Thank you very much. And what can't you do without sails and rope? Can't shove a boat across the ocean. So we had all of that going on. Even our Declaration of Independence was written on hemp product, paper by hemp. And this history is rich and golden. But once we began the scientific journey of this plant and what it could do for us, we've realized that we never have to crack open the Earth's bowels again to use her lifeblood of petroleum oil when we could use cannabis oil perfectly instead. We never have to cut down a 50 or 100-year-old tree to wipe our butts anymore because you can grow cannabis in 4 months. It's totally renewable. It would mean so much to this world to return to the cannabis plant, but the fear and stigma that the politicians have corrupted this whole plant and idea in has certainly taken over the world. So, as you can see, my trauma and my womanly issues were solved through using gentle plant therapy. Oh, guess what I want to tell you next, though? Did you know you never have to get high on THC if you know how to use it properly? And THC is such a powerful pain reliever, but guess what else it does? It can stop those negative looping thoughts going through your head. So needed for people with PTSD, our service people, men and women, our service dogs, any of our animals who are afraid of bombs bursting in air or thunder or any of that. We have alternatives to big pharma that does not play nicely in our body very well. And that's what cannabis can do for us, as we have discovered through new science and technology, that this plant really is a beautiful complement to our own bodies. So that's what I'm doing now. You see me as a vibrant, alive, excited woman leading this charge, trying to help my sisters come up. Lift themselves up out of this other patriarchal system and design our own feminine systems instead. And that's what I'm doing.
I love this, honey. It was very, I obviously I knew the perspective that you were going to come with, and I loved how you explained where you were before that first toke in your 60s. Because I mean it, I think it's clear. I graduated high school in 99, and I went to the oldest school in the Western Hemisphere, and it's very prestigious school back in Bermuda. And we had to do a senior paper, a senior research paper, and I did mines on cannabis and why we need to stop criminalizing it and stop with all of the propaganda because it had so many benefits. And I remember one of my teachers saying, "So you're a pothead, are you?" And I say, "Well, yeah, I do smoke. I mean, you probably smell it on my school clothes. I mean, it's nothing that I hide. Even back then, I didn't hide it." And I remember the disgust I was talked out. This is like a semester long paper writing, and how many times you would talk about outlining, and you're working on this, you're working on that, and every time I mentioned it, I was cut off in class because they did not want me to have a discussion about cannabis in the school.
That's
They
right.
tried to talk me out of even continuing with the paper, but I was adamant, and we talked about the myths that they pushed as propaganda, that it's a gateway drug and it's this and it's that and it's very negative. And I remember being in class one day and bringing up, and I don't even remember what the point was, but it was in relation to hemp. It might have been maybe the multiple uses of hemp that so many people were unaware of. And even my classmates were a bit surprised because, the propaganda prior to the legalization of it was very strong. But we cannot ignore that this is nature. The pharmaceutical industry is has to be a multi-trillion-dollar industry, like not even billion, trillion-dollar industry. And oftentimes, our doctors are so quick to push pills as opposed to coming up with natural, holistic solutions for your issues. And it's very interesting because, I live in the UK now. However, I've lived in the States for a total of 7 years. And the huge difference in the way that people are medicated is very clear to me. And I was having a conversation with my manager actually just last week, talking about how even in the US still, when they have like commercials about medication, the benefits of the medication would be maybe a quarter to a third of the commercial. And
Not
then the
even.
rest of the commercial is the side effects and the potential other conditions that you
Potential for
could
death.
develop as
Sorry.
a result of the pharmacy
We make
of the
fun of them all the
medication.
time. They're hideous. They're just hideous.
Awful. So I thought, okay, well, I'm gonna prove this to you. Let me go on YouTube and find you an example. And the example that I found, I want to say it was like Ambien or something like that, right? The discussion about the benefits lasted 11 seconds. The discussion about the impact of this medication lasted 42
Oh
seconds.
my God. And I
And I
bet it
mean,
was
they,
speed red too, right?
yes, right? And
Yes.
like everything else, like,
Right. Tiny print and speed red.
so fast, right?
Yeah.
It was like,
You
and
can't listen that
this and this,
fast.
and then
Yeah.
it lends with death.
Yeah, right. Right, exactly. Jesus, it's scary.
It's just so, I think this, it's a profound example of how industry leads the charge in the propaganda for natural remedies, for other solutions, because their only agenda is to get
Yeah.
your money. And
I don't even want to
particularly
call
in
it
the
industry.
US.
I want to call it men. I mean, I just really want to call it out. That is the patriarchal way of doing business, and it no longer suits me as a woman. And I'm just calling it out. I'd love to ask you something personal. But you grew up in Bermuda, you told me,
Absolutely,
right? So you already had a holistic opinion about herbs and cannabis in particular from your own culture. Is that right?
It wasn't, I would say it was, particularly back then, it was definitely frowned upon in the social circles, but I mean, everybody smoked. I remember being at a friend's house. Her aunt was a teacher at a very other another prominent school, and I must have been about 13. And we were sitting, it was a group of us, and we were all sitting off and relaxing and watching TV. And then I smoked weed, and I turned around, and I was almost taken back by the fact that this teacher is her smoking a joint. If she did that in public, she probably would have lost her job, because it was absolutely frowned upon. But I also grew up in a culture that we used to go outside and pick plants if we had a sprained ankle. We used to have these match me if you can leaves. I don't even know their real name, like, their
Yeah.
scientific name. But if I had swelling somewhere, my granny used to go outside, pick some match me if you can leaves, wrap it around the swelling, and the next day the swelling would go down. Or if I had congestion in my chest, they would go pick
Eucalyptus
loquat
or something,
leaves
right?
and wrap it with brown paper bag, and then
Right.
all of a sudden, that chest congestion was removed. But
Yeah.
yet, because of the propaganda, we were told to turn away from something else that was quite natural and medicinal in its own way. But yeah, I did grow up in a culture where we did use the plants. We used the plants. We used what was available to us rather than popping pills. And like I grew up around aunties. The most that they would take is Vicks. That's it. That was the Vicks and Vaseline was the
Go to, right?
go-to.
Or a little Crisco on your heels, right? Okay.
Yeah, and it's actually nice to see us coming back to that and really embracing it, because I suspect the reason why it was criminalized because it's easily grown. So it was more of a control. Let's make money off of this, now we have another solution here. So let's remove this from the picture so that we can make money. And it's sad that it took so many years for us to get to this place where we can openly use the plant in its fullest.
And we can't still.
Well,
Not
this is
really.
true. Yeah.
The American history of cannabis is only partially told by what I know of it, but I've not learned the indigenous nature of cannabis, which is on my to-do list. I just have to find the right indigenous historian to give me a full view. And it took me a decade to get to where I am now, to understand not only the global aspect of this plant and what has happened to it for all time, but how politics usurped the power of this beautiful plant, and how we're real, and then how recreational usurped the medicinal side of this plant. So there's, and we're not even talking about the gajillions of uses that this plant has for us industrially. When Chernobyl exploded, they planted hemp around it to soak up all the radioactive heavy metals and all of that stuff, because hemp can do that. When Henry Ford started building cars over here in America, his first car was made with hemp products, with hemp reed. And he touted that they were the strongest cars on the planet. And they were. And then he made biofuel for 40,000 of those cars to run on. And it did. We now know that biofuel made out of cannabis is not very efficient, but he proved that it could be done. And so that proves also that we can make anything else with cannabis oil, that requires that kind of a base. And it's a renewable plant. There's an airplane out there made out of cannabis now. But when
Wow.
cannabis lost its power in the US as a plant, prohibition had just been overturned. They now started allowing alcohol again. And the head honcho, his name was Harry Ansperger, was Anslinger. And he was the attorney general who needed suddenly a job for his huge team of men who were all prohibitionists. And, they'd go around busting all the alcohol bottles and all of that stuff. Those guys. The big wig of paper didn't want cannabis coming in and taking over all of his plans for his paper magnate. And they had just learned how to press a pill during World War I or II. And so Big Pharma didn't want cannabis coming back in because it was a plant therapy and much, much harder to figure out for shelf life than a pressed pill. So they really wanted that out. Big Cotton didn't want cannabis coming in to replace all of that historical horseshit. And so there were just lots and lots of reasons why, and industries who did not want cannabis to come in, not the least of which was alcohol. to replace that booming business. But what you said earlier was that, what one of the fears that cannabis is an entry drug, it's actually an exit drug. It will help you get off of the hard stuff. Tobacco, heroin, sugar, salt, cocaine, all of those things. So, and science has proved that. So it's been a beautiful ride to understand the science behind what this plant can actually do. And I've been just trying to help people understand, women in particular. I decided at this age, I'm sick of the language barrier between genders, and it's just so much easier to speak to a room full of women and be my own vulnerable self than it is to have to curb my tongue and worry about, offending some man's ears or letting him go off on some tangent about me being a woman. I just love talking to women anyway. And I want to help. I want to help lift our gender, our femininity, and help bring some calm to this chaos. And you all see what we're particularly in right now. So,
You probably do need
oh,
a little,
honey.
actually, a little
Oh,
bit more
God.
with what's going
I don't
on.
want to mention any names or anything,
But we all know what we mean
but we
here.
all know what we mean. Thank
So,
you for understanding.
yeah. So, honey, thank you so much for, first of all, the history lesson and really just highlighting the benefits, including the exit of survival mode. So, tell us a little bit more about how we can connect with you online. And I know you're an author,
Oh,
so share your book.
it's true. But if I may, I've got a little something for your audience. If I
Yes.
may, just a little gift. And this will help you understand kind of how to look at what might be a good idea in cannabis for different aches and pains. So I put together a little PDF that you could print out if you want to, or you can just look at it. And it's called the Cannabis Recovery Kit. So, really, it's what you might look at to see what would be in your first aid kit instead of aspirin or Tylenol or ibuprofen or Pepto-Bismol or any of those things that you might get over the counter or in a prescriptive manner from your doctor. So this helps you kind of understand better what options you might have or which might be coming to you soon. If you're not in an area where you do have these options, you will be soon because it's coming. The plant won't be stopped anymore at this point. So if you just go, dear audience, if you just go to a site called Healing Beyond High, HIGH.com. Healing Beyond High. It's the same name as my new little book, Healing Beyond High. Is that backwards? I
No,
can't tell.
it's correct.
Is
No,
that
now
correct?
it's backwards.
Ah! This is an author's trick. So I never know if I'm going to be on Zoom or some other platform that doesn't have mirror facing. And so I made a little backwards 8x10 and then cut it down to put on my book. And here's the name of my book, Healing Beyond High, Cannabis Truth. And Cannabis Truth is the name of my podcast that's been running for the past 6 years, weekly, interviewing medical professionals in the cannabis industry, scientists and doctors and pharmacists and other interested advocates like myself, because I'm not a medical professional, but I have been hanging out with them for a long time now. And in this book, you'll see that it's got my trusted sources and all different kinds of ways to show you how to use this plant safely and effectively for your needs. So it's a wonderful little book that you can find on Amazon.com, Healing Beyond High. And if you go to healingbeyondhigh.com, You'll find a place there that you can also get the book, but I want you to have that special little PDF, the Cannabis Recovery Kit. And it's just going to give you so many bright ideas. So I hope you all enjoy that. And you can get to me and stay in touch with me through healingbeyondhigh.com. And Letitia, I just think you're precious and I love what you're doing. And
Thank
I would
you.
love for you to come on my podcast and chat about all of this as well, about what you're doing in your field. I think it's so important.
Thank you so much, honey. I really appreciate your time here on Survival Mode Disrupted. And audience, I hope that you appreciate that this space also introduces different modalities to help you beyond your survival mode. So, honey, before we wrap it all up, one key takeaway for the audience.
I would say, don't believe everything you think. It just ain't true. And to find a mentor that you really connect with. I've got my own, but find a mentor online. There's jillions of them, and they're all free, and you can listen to them every day and fill your head with really, really good input. I stopped listening to the news. I stopped listening to politics, and I was a junkie on politics 24/7 and the news as well. And I had to give it up, and I stopped watching TV because I can't take the fear and anxiety and of that input. All the news leads with terrible things to women, and I'm just not going to put up with that anymore. I don't want to go through life being afraid. So be careful, my dear sweet audience. Be careful of what goes in upstairs. And don't believe everything you think. Be careful about that too.
Absolutely. And a huge part of what I talk about accessing survival mode is being able to challenge your narratives and the beliefs that you have,
That's
because
it.
they may not necessarily be true.
That's
So
it.
thank you so much, honey. I really enjoyed this conversation. And audience, thank you for catching another episode of Survival Mode Disrupted. I just want to remind you, you were not built to break. But you damn sure are not built to just survive, disrupt the cycle, reclaim your life, and thrive on your own terms. Once again, thank you for joining another episode of Survival Mode Disrupted, hosted by the Survival Mode Disruptor, Letitia. You didn't land here by accident. This conversation, it probably cracked something open on purpose, because survival mode isn't just a phase, it's a pattern, an identity, a prison masked as strength. But here's the truth: you're not broken, you're just unfinished. So if something stirred in you today, don't ignore it, don't numb it, move with it. And I want to once again invite you to join Disrupting Survival Mode, the Facebook community where healing is loud and messy and real. I also want to invite you to buy my book, The Survival Mode Exit Plan, because your breakthrough deserves a blueprint. And if you felt seen today, be sure to share this episode with someone who needs to hear it. Like, subscribe, and drop a review. That's how we amplify the voices that need to be heard. And remember, this isn't about fixing yourself. This is about finding yourself again beneath the rubble. Until next time, choose ease, choose power, choose you. This is Survival Mode Disrupted. Let's keep shaking shit up.